Hey, health junkies. It's time for The Health Fix. Join your host, Dr. Janine Krause, as she gives you a dose of what you need to know and do right now to take control of your health from the inside out, to rebel against aging, look damn good, fight stress, and laugh every day.
Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about your eyes. I am going to interview Dr. Mark Grossman, who's a doctor of optometry and an acupuncturist, who's a best-selling author of multiple books. And as a holistic eye doctor, Dr. Grossman, he's dedicated to helping people with such conditions ranging from dry eyes to macular degeneration and glaucoma. Dr. Grossman's belief is that vision doesn't have to decline with age and can actually be improved at any age. In this podcast, I'm going to interview Dr. Grossman on how to improve your vision and the holistic interventions that you can take to improve your vision without resorting to stronger prescriptions for eyeglasses, contact lenses, or even submitting to surgery. So, are you guys excited to hear this one? All right, let's get on with the podcast. Hello there, health junkies. Welcome to another episode of The Health Fix. I'm your host, Dr. Janine Krause, and today I have a treat for you. I have a holistic eye doctor, Mark Grossman, on the line with me, and we are going to be talking all about his new book, Natural Eye Care. But not only that, we're going to be talking about something that's overlooked quite a bit in the natural medicine world. We don't talk a lot about natural eye care. It's not as popular as things like detoxes and fixing your gut, but it's just as important. And being someone who has now entered into my 40s, I'm really, really, really realizing how important my eyes are and some of the declines that start to happen as you get older. And so, Dr. Mark, say hello.
Hi, everybody.
Here's Dr. Mark. So tell us how you got into the field of holistic eye care. How did this happen for you?
Well, it's very interesting. I didn't go to become an eye doctor thinking about holistic eye care. I just thought that basically, I didn't want to have anybody die on me. And I was good in math and science. And I said, oh, optometry, that's pretty good, you know. And I went to school, and then I started getting more into natural medicine and yoga and meditation and Eastern philosophy. And I said, I don't want to treat symptoms. I want to be treated. I want to treat patients like I want to be treated if I was going for care. So like I would go to a naturopathic physician. I would go to acupuncturist. So how can I practice eye care if I'm not giving the same kind of care that I personally would like to have? So basically what happened was I became an eye doctor, 1980. I've been practicing almost 40 years. And then I had some great mentors. One was a yogi, and he had a yoga philosophy to eye care. His name was Dr. Al Shankman. He's passed now. And I was his personal patient, and I improved my eyesight personally from legally blind, not able to see the biggie on the chart,
wow,
2400 vision, and now I'm 63 years old, and I can see everything up close. I don't need glasses for driving. I can pass a driving test without glasses, so I'm 99% glasses free in my personal life. So I know this thing, these work. Because personally, I've went through it myself, along with helping thousands of patients. And then about 15, 16 years later, my loans were paid off for eye doctor school and everything. And then I was at a friend's house, and in the middle of the living room was a book that was called The Web That Has No Weaver, which was one of the first books on Chinese medicine. And as you get different signs in your life, the book looked at me, I looked at the book, and I said, oh my God, I got to go to acupuncture school now. And I said, oh, no, it's not even licensed in New York State. I don't have to go yet. Called up my friend, who is an acupuncturist, and he said, oh, next year it's going to be licensed. So I said, oh, okay. So I went and I did the whole program for 3 to 4 years in acupuncture school. Didn't know why I was doing it. Just knew that I was interested in Chinese medicine and a philosophy, and it changed my life. It changed my whole approach to healthcare, because in Western medicine, as I was trained, we're looking at how does X cause Y. Mm-hmm. In Chinese medicine or naturopathic medicine, we're looking at what is the relationship between X and Y. And I believe that all dis-ease in the body-mind has to do with imbalances in relationship. Relationship to your environment, to your family, to your organ systems, to your work, to your everything. And when you have imbalances in your relationships on any level, you get stuck energy, and therefore you're out of balance and you get dis-ease. And the goal of every acupuncture and Chinese medicine treatment is balance and harmony. So I took that into eye care. And vision being our dominant sense modality, you know, embryologically, physiologically, neurologically, the eye is brain tissue. Mm-hmm. If you can change your mind, you can change your eyes. The eyes are just tools for the mind. So going on that premise and thinking about the neuroplasticity of the eye-brain connection and looking at it from a Chinese medicine paradigm and health paradigm, I didn't have any other way that I could practice besides learning more about nutrition, herbs, Chinese medicine, and that's a small way of how I got into this.
Wow. I love it. The web that has no weaver. That's what got me hooked and sucked me into acupuncture. That's like the gateway drug right there, that book. It gets you in and then you're in and you can't go. I mean, it changes, you know how you're mentioning, it changes your whole thought process about looking at someone, because you're now not just looking at the person, you're looking at, you know, how do they respond to hot or cold? Are they, you know, what is their skin color? What is their eye color? It's very interesting. And I hope that we can talk a little bit more about that, so folks can really grasp the concept of how important the eyes are, but how much they can tell us about our health and how we function in general. So I think one of the big things that I get a lot of questions about, you know, you're saying if you can change your mind, you can change your eyes. We've got a lot of folks who are addicted to tablets and getting a lot of eye strain because of computers and phones. What would be one of your thoughts and advice to folks on this aspect? What do you see in your office? How do you work on folks that are addicted to all of their screen time?
Now, it's so interesting that you brought that up first, because just, it's not out yet, but just the last weekend, we were putting the final touches on a online class that people can take on how to reduce computer eye strain. And with the use of eye exercises, nutrition, go over that with you today, different yoga postures and stretches, using special glasses that take that absorb the blue light that comes from the computer. So let's talk about first, it's the addiction. Okay.
Yes.
First of all, most of the things that we do on a computer or on a cell phone is done at a close distance. So already we're putting strain on the eyes. There's a reason why accountants have over 90% incidence of nearsightedness, while professional farmers have less than 10%. As we go up into the school years, you start to see more and more nearsightedness. In China and Japan, it's epidemic now. As kids start to work on computers and do more close work younger and younger, they're straining their eyes. The eyes were not made to do sustained close work. Function affects structure. If you carried 50 pounds of rice on your back, then your back would be tilted. If you're going to make your eyes look up at screens or cell phones all day, and the average person is on these things almost 6 hours a day minimum, your eyes are going to have to respond to that stress. So therefore, they're not getting the flexibility and the adaptability of the eye muscles. They're getting the blue light, which can cause photooxidation on the retina and can lead to cataracts. They've even have cataracts, glaucoma, macular degeneration. The studies on excess computer use related to all three of those conditions, increase in nearsightedness. So computers, in a way, are the eye doctor's best friend because they're making lots of eye problems in the world. The number one complaint of people who work on computers in offices is eye strain. You know, so you get those amber-colored glasses, those blue light glasses. You can get them online for $10, a good company, and I have nothing to do with the company. It's called UVEX, U-V-E-X. It's an amber-colored glass you can use on the computer. But in addition, nutritional things such as lutein, zeaxanthin, astaxanthin, black currant seed, these are things that are very, very good for, you know, reducing eye strain when you're on the computer to protect your eyes. And, you know, not to push what I do, but, you know, I've developed and support different nutritional products that have all these things in them that are organic to help people's eyes work better together when they're on the computer. Also, eye exercises are very important. You can go to my website, naturaleyecare.com, and get free eye exercises that help with the flexibility and the adaptability of your eyes while on the computer. We have those in a PDF that you can download, or even on a video you can look at on the website. So if you're going to make your eyes, you know, work on a computer so much during the day, you have to build them up so that the eyes can handle that. You want flexibility. You want to be able to take breaks and look out on the horizon, stretch your body, look far away. Yeah, these are all things that are really important to do when on the computer or on your cell phone.
I think that is a great summary of all the different things that you recommend. Plus, I did notice on your website, and folks who are listening to this podcast, you should go over to Dr. Grossman's website, naturaleyecare.com. He has great packages of supplements put together for you for certain conditions. So you're looking at one location and you don't have to go, oh, I need this and I got to buy that from Amazon and that from here, that from there, or spend the time to look for everything. He's already got it all packaged up for you. So it's really cool. I love what you did there. Dr. Grossman, I think it's great how you've got the kits, if you will, for certain conditions.
Right. And all the research that we've done that goes behind that is in the new Natural Eye Care book that's available as an ebook or as a paperback. Like I said, it's 800 pages, so there's chapters just on computer eye strain. There's chapters just on cataracts. And now I'm trying to make those also like online classes for as low as, you know, $10 for people to use no more than, you know, 15, so that people can get all that information and more, you know, like what are good, things you can put on your computers. One is called F-Lux, which helps with the blue light filters. So there's a lot of free services out there and for reducing computer eye strain. But I believe that computers and the use of cell phones is the number one cause that's going to create eye problems to occur at earlier ages than when people have them in their 70s and 80s.
Huh. Wow. I can imagine. I mean, just watching my cousins and they're 5-6 years old and they're on the tablets constantly. I'm imagining eyes are going to age and start seeing eye strain, gosh, 15, 18 years old.
Right. And well, they don't call it eye strain because the people work through it, and what happens is they become nearsighted.
Mm.
And that's why it's epidemic in China now. If you look up the incidence of nearsightedness in China and Japan, or if you look up, I mean, it was very, very interesting. I was part of a dance performance this weekend, and there were people from all over the world dancing, and I was born Jewish, but the people who are the Orthodox Jewish community of people, 80% of the people were wearing glasses who were dancing, and this was people 12 and under. It's because they tend to read, the more you read, the more you do on the computer, the more you do near-centered tasks, the research is beyond reputable that your eyes will get more nearsighted. Now, the people who don't get nearsighted, they get eye strain or they get headaches, but the eye will adapt to that issue, and that's what we're seeing more.
Gotcha.
Is the nearsightedness epidemic.
Makes sense.
And then as you go to the eye doctor, we're treating the symptom. Remember, your glasses are the symptom of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
We're not looking at how you're using and abusing your eyes. I mean, as a naturopath, we tend to follow the philosophy of Benjamin Franklin of, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And dentists talk about dental hygiene. We need to talk about visual hygiene.
I love it. And it's something that, you're right. We don't, even as a naturopath, I will be 100% honest that yes, I talk about, looking away from the screen. I have the efflux on my screens and talk to my patients about it. But I don't practice as much visual or ocular hygiene as I should. I'm always talking about, limiting sugar, this and that, but no. So tell us this. Tell us in terms of a plan. So I like to give all of my podcast listeners some actionable steps to take after they get off the podcast. And in your opinion, what are the most important nutrients or what would be the ocular hygiene if everyone was to do a routine daily? What would you recommend?
Okay. Well, first of all, as you are also a practicing acupuncturist, mm-hmm. all the meridians go to the eyes,
mm-hmm.
and all the meridians go through the heart.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
So I just want to set that as a premise. And you also talked about the healing of the gut. Just as we have the microbiome in our gut, there's an ocular microbiome. So our gut is also very, very important to heal that in reference to our eyes. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Now, the number one food for the eyes is not carrots.
Dang it.
Carrots are good, but the number one food for the eyes is kale.
Kale, okay.
Kale has the highest amount of lutein, which is a very, very important nutrient for your macula, helps with the blue light, and also for your lens of your eye, and also orange peppers, which is very good, has a high incidence of zeaxanthin. So the important nutrients for your eyes are the carotenoids, lutein, and zeaxanthin. So all the foods that have lutein and zeaxanthin in them are very important. Also, another carotenoid called astaxanthin
mm-hmm.
is also very important. Now, in terms of foods, omega-3 fatty acids, flaxseed, hemp seed, chia seeds, sardines, freshwater fish, freshwater salmon, anchovies. These are foods that have a high amount of omega-3 fatty acids. On our website, for free, you can look up juicing recipes for all these different conditions. So you want to, you want to get these nutrients into your system through food and diet. We say, again, as you know, we want to stay away from refined sugars. That's why diabetics have a higher degree of eye problems than other people, because the sugars can break down the lens of the eye. can affect the retina of the eye, can cause diabetic retinopathy. The other important foods for the eyes, the number one fruit is the blueberries, the European bilberry, the dark grapes, the fruits that are dark in nature. So if I had to have a perfect meal, we would talk about, let's have some freshwater salmon with some blueberries for dessert, some chia seeds. So these are the kind of foods, orange peppers. These are the kind of, and some kale.
Mm-hmm.
So these are the foods that are the highest nutritional value for your eyes.
Oh, that's wonderful. All things I like. So I'm like, that's salmon dinner. I think that's what I might be doing for dinner tonight. I'm like, sign me up.
Great.
I'm doing it. So, okay. So that gives folks a little bit of an idea. And of course, folks, like Dr. Grossman was mentioning, he's mentioning that there are supplements that have higher amounts of lutein and zeaxanthin in them. But, if you've listened to my podcast for any time now, I'm going to say start eating your medicine first, then worry about supplements
exactly.
later.
Food is medicine.
Absolutely. So because I'm an acupuncturist and I have an idea in terms of the different points for the eye in the acupuncture world, I'm curious, in your office, do you have folks coming in and it's, the regular optometry exam, things of that nature, and then do you lay them down and do some acupuncture? Or how do things work in your office? I'm just curious.
That's a very interesting question. My eye doctor office is a office with 8 other eye doctors, ophthalmologists, neuro-ophthalmologists, cataract surgeons, and 4 optometrists, with the highest technology available for eye care. We can take 3-dimensional pictures underneath the retina, take pictures of the eye, every cell in the cornea. So I rent space in this eye clinic once a week. I do not do acupuncture in that clinic. I just do eye care.
Ah, okay.
Then in my other office up in New Paltz where I live, I've got 2 to 3 acupuncture rooms, and people who come to me for different eye diseases to help with acupuncture. So that's more of my natural medicine. So a lot of those patients I see in both places, but they're in 2 different offices, because when I go down there just to do a good comprehensive eye exam, I need all that technology, and I just do that. And then separately on a separate day, I'll do my acupuncture for the eyes.
That makes sense. I was just curious in my mind. I was like, I wonder if it's all happening at once. I can imagine that, going to my own eye doctor's office, it's pretty crazy and busy in there. I feel like having a separate space would be much more relaxing.
The clinic asked me if I would be open to this. I said no. I said, I guess got to focus on one thing. Plus, when I'm doing an exam, I don't know what the person's going to need at that moment in time. So I would always also have to do it at a separate time anyway.
Oh, I have to agree. I try to combine my doctoring and acupuncturing at the same time, and my brain just, it's like 2 switches. I have to keep that separate sometimes. Otherwise, it gets a little too messy.
Yeah.
So tell us a little bit more about your book, because I think that there are a lot of folks out there who have suffered with certain eye conditions. And I think they're probably wondering right now, can I get rid of my nearsightedness? Can I get rid, can I reverse my cataracts? What can I do? So tell us a little bit more about your book and how it's set up and what different categories you have and what one would find in there in terms of treatment plans and things of that nature.
Okay, so I'll talk about that. My other books, this is my 5th book. The other books that people might have experience with is my magic eye books. You ever see those 3D pictures? You relax your eyes and a picture pops out?
Yeah.
But those are, I've written 2 of those books. It's called Magic Eye, Improve Your Vision Beyond 3D. So that's, you know, that's more of an eye exercise book and a book to learn how to get your eye muscles more relaxed. But the natural eye care book, I wrote one with a colleague of mine about 20 years ago. And then, of course, more research keeps coming, and that's why our website has about 300 pages of research. But we wrote this book, and it took about 8.5 years. We had 10 other doctors help us with it. And it goes into the different diets out there, from the Mediterranean diet, et cetera. So we go into a review of all the different diets. There's 100 pages on different nutrients that are good for the eyes on research. These are 2,000 peer-reviewed research articles. And then we go into the different eye conditions, anywhere from cataracts, dry eye, macular degeneration, glaucoma, floaters, retinitis pigmentosa. There's separate chapters on Chinese medicine, microcurrent stimulation. I did a chapter on personality and eye problems.
I don't know. I want to talk more about that in a minute.
Yeah, we have a chapter on essential oils and how to use essential oils for different eye problems. A friend of mine who I did a DVD on vision and yoga did the chapter on yoga postures for the different eye problems. We have a chapter by a friend of mine who's an ER doc on emergency, you know, what is an emergency for eye problems and how to treat it without going to the emergency room. Computer eye strain chapters. Every you know, like you have that book, The Natural Book of Healing, you know, like it's a reference guide.
Yeah.
So that's why this became 800 pages. This is the natural healing book for eyes on all different kinds of eye problems, how to treat it nutritionally, herbally, eye exercises, essential oils, juicing recipes, anything that's out there as a way of helping your eyes is in that book. Yeah.
Very cool. Very cool. So very comprehensive. Okay. I want to go back to eye problems and personalities. That intrigues me. Tell us more about that. What have you seen?
Okay. Well, you'll love this as an acupuncturist. So what I have found was that I started to use the backdrop of the five elements for looking at people's eye problems. And I won't go into the whole thing of this because that would just be an hour just to talk about that. But I'll give you some of the little tidbits. Let's say you have somebody who's primarily a metal element.
Okay.
So for your listeners, there's the five elements. There's fire, earth, metal, water, and wood. And each of these five elements, we all have all five elements inside of us, but some of them are more pronounced than others, you know, in terms of our personality and our body types. And the metal element, I use the archetype, the analyst. These are the people, or the critic. These are the people who when you're, you know, these are these are your accountants, your graphic designers. These are the people who come in when they get their eyes checked. And I say, can you read the eye chart? They go, do you know that the top of the E is a little thicker than the bottom of the E? You know, they're very precise. These are the people, when I ask them which is better, or clearer, one or two, they say 1.5. You know, small changes, you know, little bits of changes, they're very sensitive to. So when you have a metal type, whether you're giving them herbs or nutrition or eye care, they tend to have astigmatism. They always cleaning their glasses. And just to go to another type, you might have like a water type. And a water type, you know, they tend to flow with the times. I'm more of a water type. And you ask them which is better when they go for the eye exam, and they go, well, which is clear, which is better, one or two? And they go, it's about the same. It's about the same. It's about the same. So your listeners might go to the eye doctor, and when the eye doctor asks them which is better, one or two, A or B, some of them say, oh, they seem all about the same. That gives you a tip of that they might be more of a water element. And the eye doctor, if they're a metal element, might give them a prescription that's too strong. Well, if they, and this is where here's a big issue in eye care. So you go to the eye doctor, you're sitting behind this big machine, they're asking you which is clear, one or two, A or B, you're not sure of the answer, you get these glasses, these expensive glasses, and then you put them on and you can see clearly, but they don't feel right. And you go back to the eye doctor, and the eye doctor says, and you say, look, I can see through things, but they don't feel right. They might feel too strong. And the, most of the eye doctors will say, most of them, not all of them, will say, oh, you'll get used to it. And that's right. And you'll get used to 50 pounds of rice on your back, and then you won't have a straight back. And that's why most people, when they get their first pair of eyeglasses, then a year or two later, they need stronger glasses and stronger glasses and stronger glasses. And the eye doctor is not doing this on purpose. They want to give you the best clarity as possible, but they're getting you addicted to your eyeglasses. And the different types will get addicted differently. So that's just a little bit of how I use personality and eye care.
Wow. No, that's very common. I hear a lot of patients telling me that they've got to go back in because they think their prescription is too strong and, you know, want to change something up. And, I'm going to have to think about that.
And you're where are you located?
I'm located in Tacoma, Washington.
Okay, so yeah, there's a lot. Where'd you go to naturopathic school?
I went to Bastyr here in Washington.
Yeah, like many years ago, and they asked me, but Bastyr, that's a great, Washington has some behavioral optometrists who, you know, will look at and hopefully not give prescriptions that are too strong.
All right. So behavioral optometrist is what folks would be looking for to find somebody like you. Because I can imagine that some folks right now are going, I need a new optometrist. I need help here. And what is there a website out there that folks could look for a doc like you?
www.oep. .org, which OEP stands for the Optometric Extension Program, OEP.org. Okay. And there's also a website called CO, and there's another organization called COVD. OEP, behavioral optometrists in your area, and how far you are. Consults with people all over the country and the world if they needed my help. They just have to get their eyes examined somewhere, I'll send a copy of their records, and I can go over it with them by phone or Skype, yeah.
Okay.
But, you know, if you can see somebody locally, that could be really good for them, too.
Yes, of course. But, yeah, I definitely know in some areas, you know, folks will find folks, and you never know. Now, we had a little bit of an awkward connection when you were mentioning the CLVD. Is that Cat Larry?
Oh, it's called... No, COVD.
Oh, COVD. Okay.
Yeah.
There we go.
That's another organization of behavioral optometrists.
Yeah. Okay. And is their website kind of covd.org?
I think so. I'm not sure.
All right. We can look that up. No problem. Apologize. Yeah, but we had a weird connection there for a second, and you went robot on me for a second, so I had to let it correct itself. So we're good now. We are good. So
okay, great.
I have a couple more questions, then I've got a boogie to get back to seeing patients. But I could talk to you for hours about picking your brain about so many things. But I think one of the biggest questions I get in my office from a lot of patients who are into natural medicine is about iridology. And I don't know if you play anywhere in that department into your thought process on eye health. What's your opinion of iridology?
Okay, so probably about 38 years ago, I studied iridology with Bernard Jensen, who wrote the book on iridology. Mm-hmm. And I did my certification in iridology. And I believe that it is a window. You know, I do believe the eyes are the windows to the soul. And it's a non-invasive way of looking at the eyes and the organ systems through the eyes. though I do not practice iridology, I feel it's one of those art sciences where if you have somebody who's really good at it, they can get a lot of information about it. And you can actually see changes in the eyes when you put people through detoxification and work with them through naturopathic medicine. I think today we have a lot of between very, you know, good blood testing and also through applied kinesiology. I think you can get a lot of those diagnostics that you can get through the eyes. Also, I am not against iridology. I think it's a another good tool for diagnosing different conditions. But what I love about it is definitely when you have somebody who's, you know, very toxic or very acidic, and then you're working with them to get their system more alkaline and working on their microbiome and all that. And if you really take pictures of their iris, you will see changes in the color and the stuck energy in their different energies in their iris. So I do believe in it, and I think it is another good way to reference the health of the body.
Very cool. Very cool. So I think one last thing that kind of a twofold though, because I have a lot of patients that really don't believe me that there's a connection between elevated sugar levels and the lenses. And I have, you know, basically tell them the lens gets cloudier because the sugar is breaking down the proteins, making the bonds more brittle. But I would love to have your explanation for folks as to the effect of sugar on the eye, so I can kind of use what you say, because I bet you got a better explanation than I do.
So what Dr. Krause is talking about is glycation.
Yes.
Okay. And what happens is you have this clear lens, and the sugars, you know, especially refined sugar, will break down the lens and cause those proteins to what we call, you know, glycate. I mean, and that's why diabetics have a much earlier degree of cataracts than other people. So it'll break down the proteins, and then they'll start to, like, sort of, how do you form it? Stick together?
Yeah.
Yeah, so they kind of, like, stick together, and then they become cloudy, and then you can't see. So the reduction of, you know, sugar is so important. You know, a low glycemic index, very important. And also, you know, how people, you know, it's not just the sugar, it's the sugar spiking. Like, your blood sugar levels could be okay, but then they might spike after eating sugar. Mm-hmm. So, sugar, you know, not just in the eyes, will, you know, affect the whole body. So you really want to, you know, reduce the amount of refined sugar you have, and, you know, carbohydrates that break down there. So, you know, the sugar can totally, totally, totally affect the lens of your eyes, can affect the small blood vessels in your eyes and the small blood vessels in your feet. That's why diabetics tend to have, like, varicose veins. So I'm sure you talk to them a lot about, you know, balancing blood sugar levels. So
absolutely.
A big key to keeping your eyes clear is balancing blood sugar levels.
Absolutely. Let's bounce off that for a minute. Thank you for backing me up on that. See, everybody who's listening that's a patient of mine, I'm not crazy. Dr. Grossman backed me up that, yes, sugar does affect your eye. Now, let's bounce off this for a minute and go towards something that would be a takeaway, another takeaway for folks from this podcast. So say someone's sitting here right now listening to this podcast and going, well, I think my eyes are okay. I haven't really had any weird symptoms, and I don't wear glasses. I don't have any issues. What would be some things that folks should be aware of or looking at going forward in terms of, I'm starting to have some issues with my eyes. I really need to pay attention here, because I think a lot of people will take the information of eye hygiene and eye health and work on the preventative side of things. But I think there's a lot of folks out there that are going to go, I don't have any problems right now. So tell us those warning signs that something's not right.
Well, let's start from the outside of the eye in. Dry eyes. Mm-hmm. That's the number one complaint of a lot of computer users. It's the most complaint of people who come into the office. Also, it could be due to the glands of your eyes start to back up. So warm compresses could be really good if you're working on the computer a lot. Do your eyes feel dry? Do things go in and out of focus because the tear film is... The eyes. If your eyes tend to water, that's actually a sign of dry eyes too. As we go deeper into the eyes, we got the lens of the eyes. Okay, you may the beginning symptoms of a cataract might be, oh, okay, I can see fine, but boy, when I drive at night, the glare is really bad, or you know, the lights come off and they go in all these different directions. So, do I experience glare a lot? Another possible, symptom. You see, the thing is, a lot of times, without getting an eye exam, you can be prone to many different eye diseases, such as glaucoma, and not feel it. So you need to go get your eyes examined every year or every 1.5 years to check for glaucoma, to see if your eye pressure is too high, if your optic nerve is vulnerable, it might be big. So you can detect glaucoma like 10 years before it becomes a problem, and 70% of people might lose, get affected by it before it becomes a problem. So you won't have any symptoms of glaucoma that you could be affected by that you feel, but your eye doctor can help diagnose those before it becomes a problem and either put you on proper medication or nutritional things you can do to lower the eye pressure. And there's neuroprotection you can use for your optic nerve if that's something. Macular degeneration. You might have fatty deposits called drusen in your eyes that can make you more vulnerable to macular degeneration and therefore affect your central acuity. But only a good thorough eye exam will give you that information. So, I am totally a believer in going to your eye doctor, getting a good thorough eye examination, testing for a dry eye, testing for macular degeneration, testing for glaucoma, testing for cataracts, and see, and this is what I want to, also leave you with, Dr. Krause, is the fact that you go to the eye doctor, and they may say, oh, you've got the little beginnings of a cataract. And you go, okay, oh, I'm sorry, what should I do? And come back in 6 months or a year. And then you say, is there anything I can do while you're watching it? And they say no. Meanwhile, there's a lot of things you can do. That's why I wrote that book, Natural Eye Care. Then you go, oh, you've got like the beginnings of glaucoma. You're a glaucoma suspect.
Wow. Dr. Grossman is fascinating. I totally have not been taking care of my eyes like I should have. I'm hoping that a lot of you folks were inspired by this podcast to think like, wow, okay, there are things I can do. I don't have to resort to getting stronger and stronger prescriptions as I get older, or I don't have to stop into the dollar store and grab readers. I can work on my eyes. So I hope that he has empowered you to take that next step to take care of your eyes. Now, we were having some difficulties with our internet connection at the end of the podcast, and I apologize for that. He sounded a little bit like a robot toward the end, and I'm cringing. So Dr. Grossman was wanting everyone to know that you can get in touch with him, you can email him, you can do virtual consults with him if you are not in New York. He is currently in New York practicing, but you can give him a call at 845-475-4158 and get on his schedule because he does do televisits. So if you are not in the New Paltz, New York area, you actually can go over on the internet and get a hold of him and do a telemedicine visit. He is truly dedicated to helping folks improve their vision. This is his life's work. He's super passionate about it, if you couldn't tell from the podcast. And he wanted everyone to know at the end of the podcast that he is there to help, give general information, questions, and he does do consults as well. So give them a call. His website is naturaleyecare.com. He's going to be coming out with courses to help you to work on your eyes with your own self-study. He also wanted me to mention that as well. And he is excited about the future of holistic eye care. So keep checking back to his website, naturaleyecare.com, for more information on his courses that will be coming out soon. And his book, of course, the Natural Eye Care book, is out already as well. And you can get a hold of that. His website does have a great resource in terms of a shop where he has all of the supplements that one would need in terms of certain eye care conditions. I highly recommend you check it out. He's got a very comprehensive website, even information for pets and pet eye care. So Dr. Grossman is a wealth of information. If you truly do have some questions, I highly recommend that you reach out to him. Well, I hope you enjoyed this podcast. Keep the questions coming, folks. Keep putting in your requests for who you want to listen to, what you want to learn. I am here to help as well. All right. Have a great day, whatever you're doing.
Hey, everybody. Dr. Janine Krause here. If you liked what you heard today, then head over to drjkrausend.com to find my free resources and information to know when I post something new that's juicy that you might want to check out. Plus, head over to where you get your podcasts and like, subscribe, and write a review to help get the word out about me and help others at the same time to find me. It really does help, and I really appreciate all of your reviews.